Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Thoughtful Hour. I am here with my good friend, David.
David Boulder from Strong Tower Radio. Yeah, it's good to be here again.
And I'm Pastor Garrett Morgan, and we have reached the climax of the story.
Yes.
We have Christ as he's being led to the cross, and we're going to be talking about when he's put on that cross today and what happens there.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and pick this up here. In Luke chapter 23, it mentions, and I love this, it talks about how Christ is put on Calvary's tree, but I love the words of Jesus in verse 34. Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do."
And he's just not talking about the soldiers nailing him to the cross. He's talking about everyone.
Yes.
From Adam and Eve until the last person. He's talking everybody.
Yeah, I mean, that ever has been and ever will have been.
And that's the whole purpose of his life,
mm-hmm.
to be that sacrifice to forgive them.
Right. So this is the lamb being slain.
The Passover lamb.
Passover lamb.
Right.
And it reminds me, and we won't go into this in too much detail, but you remember back in the time of Moses, they were being bitten by the snakes.
Oh, yeah.
And the pole was set up, right? This is Jesus. He's on the cross.
Yeah. And you know the funny thing about that? Whenever you have a snake on a pole, it means one thing. Snakes did.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So here's the cause of your problem is now no longer a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Now Jesus is on the cross. Is he the problem? No, but he's taken the responsibility of all the sin of the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's on him.
Right. So Jesus doesn't represent that snake.
No.
But it's the sin on his back.
The sin, yes.
That does.
He's bearing the burden of the world's sin.
Right. And it's dying there in front of all.
And it's funny because if you look in Colossians, I think it's 2:15, it talks about how Christ's life exposes Satan. Apparently, Satan thought that if he could just kill Christ, if Christ would die, he would win.
Right.
And it's actually Christ dies, Christ wins.
Yeah, this is the victory of Jesus.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because, you know, this is the Lamb of God, and he could have fought back.
Oh, he could have. With one word, one thought,
things
done.
Absolutely. And it mentions in Revelation, like one of the four horsemen, which I believe is Jesus, he rides on a horse, and he has a bow but no arrow. Right?
Oh boy.
He's not violent.
Okay.
And it also mentions here, I love this, in Revelation 5, this is when Jesus comes back after he's been resurrected and all these things and spent time with his disciples. But heaven introduces Jesus. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. So it's like pumping this up.
Yep.
And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, in the middle of the elders, stood as a lamb as it had been slain.
Mm-hmm.
So the conquering king, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, is the slain lamb.
Yeah.
It almost seems like it's almost a letdown.
Yeah.
You're expecting this big conqueror, and it's someone dying.
Yeah. There's so much to it. We can't get into it in this time, but there's so much into it. That's why we're going through this piece by piece.
Right.
Trying to extract little pieces here to hold up and say, do you see this?
Right. We're hoping that this time with you that we've had over the past few weeks and as we continue on with this is just enough to whet your appetite to dig into it yourself.
Dig into it. Yes. Please dig into yourself.
Because, I mean, we're just trying to skate over the highlights here, but there's so much. But anyway, Jesus is there. He's hanging on the cross, which would have been a horrific experience.
Right.
His mother is there.
Yeah, and he's completely exposed. They've taken his garments. They've taken everything off of him. He's nothing.
Yep. He's humiliating.
The ultimate humiliation.
Mm-hmm.
And he's bleeding. He's hanging. He's dying. Right.
People are mocking him. If he could save everyone else, he can't save himself.
Right. Yeah. And you know, like we've talked in other episodes, Satan was inspiring all that.
Oh, absolutely.
He was behind all that. And that's what Satan will do. He'll expose you and he'll humiliate you and say, look what you did.
Right.
There's no hope for you. Whenever Satan says that, just remember he's a liar and a liar. It's the opposite. Oh, praise God. There's still hope.
Amen. So Jesus is there in this. The devil looks at it as a hopeless situation for him, but in fact, he's conquering.
Yeah.
And he's there, and he is not the only one being crucified, but he's the center figure.
Right. Literally the center figure.
Right. Because there's one on either side of him.
Yeah.
Right. And it's interesting because when you read a few of the Gospels, it mentions that the two that were on his side that are being crucified, one on his left and one on his right, both of them begin to mock him with the crowd.
Yeah, yeah. They think, oh, look what you've done. You know, you're nothing now.
Talk about pot calling kettle black.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they're being crucified for something as well, and yet that baffles me.
Yeah. And they're saying, you know, hey, if you can save yourself, save us too.
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind, that'd be great.
Yeah.
But then one of them stops. And they both were mocking him.
Mm-hmm.
But then one asks a question. We see this in Luke 23:39.
Okay.
And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if you be Christ, save yourself and us. But the other answered, rebuking him, saying, do you not fear God, seeing that you are in the same condemnation? We indeed justly receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. And he looked to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come to your kingdom. Mm-hmm. What a conversation.
He's thinking. He's actually thinking, what else can they do to us? Not much.
Right.
We're hanging on the cross. We're exposed. We're not going to be dead in a short amount of time. This is going to be a long, drawn-out thing. But, you know, this criminal, he has been exposed to Jesus before.
Mm.
He's judging Jesus, and he's saying, this man has done nothing wrong.
Right.
Pilate said that. Herod said that.
Right.
And so he's really thinking about the situation. He's saying, no, you leave him alone.
Mm-hmm. And he understands that he's in the presence of God.
Right.
And he looks at Jesus, and I'm sure these weren't his last words, but dying words.
Mm-hmm.
He looks at Jesus and says, Lord, save me.
He says, remember me.
Remember me.
Yeah.
So
when you come in your kingdom.
Right. Not the earthly.
Yeah. He knows, he's heard enough about Jesus. He's listened to it. It's making sense to him now. Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. That this isn't the end.
Mm-hmm.
And this other guy is like, yes, this is the end. And he's like, no, 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 there's more. There's something else.
There's something far bigger than all of this.
Yeah.
And Jesus, so I don't know if this ever happens to you, but I'm a pastor. It happens to pastors too.
Okay.
Sometimes you get so worn out with life and with talking with people and with whatever it may be that you don't feel like talking to anyone else.
Okay.
Like you just checked out.
Well, especially if you're not feeling good.
Especially if you're sick.
Or hungry or whatever. Yeah.
Hungry. Yeah. Yeah. You don't feel like talking with anybody.
Yep.
You just want to go get something to eat and maybe go to bed.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But if anyone had the right to feel that way, it's Jesus here.
Exactly. Because not only is he hungry and he's thirsty, he's exhausted.
Oh.
He's hanging on a cross, excruciating pain.
Demons are pouring on him.
Oh, the worst ever.
Right.
And this guy reaches out to him, remember me. And Jesus looks at him and he says, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. And there's been a lot of discussion about that phrase,
mm-hmm.
that what Jesus said. And I would say, look at the word now in the King James Version you have. It says,
Today, two words.
Yeah. And I've got the New King James. It says, today. If you look at the Greek, get out your Strong's Concordance or whatever you've got, look at that word. It's semeron, S-E-M-E-R-O-N. And it's saying the significance of this day. So put that in the context of what Jesus is saying. Assuredly, I say to you, because of the significance of this day, which we now call Good Friday, you will be with me in paradise.
Right.
Look at the whole sanctuary service. The Lamb of God was slain. Because of the significance of Good Friday, you will be with me in paradise.
Powerful.
So Jesus is saying everything is pointing down to this day from creation, from the sin of Adam and Eve, till right now, until the end of time. Everything is pointed on this day right now. And because of the significance of this day, what happens on this day, you for sure will be with me in paradise because you said, remember me.
It's beautiful.
And so it's all coming down to this point where Christ is saying, we win.
Yeah. I love what Mark Finley says when he reads the Bible, God wins, devil loses.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And this is the epitome of that.
It is.
The Lord is winning and the devil is taking his biggest L. Right here. I mean, this is the nail in the coffin.
Yeah, it is. The final act of Christ is, and it's the last person that he interacts with before he dies.
Right. Yeah, the only other thing he talks to is to God, but the last human being, this is it.
Yeah. And you know, we've heard it said many times, Christ would have gone through all this for one person. Well, there is that one person right there.
There it is.
And he was a thief on the cross.
That's just amazing. And the fact that Jesus still, again, moments away from dying,
mm-hmm.
is still looking for these opportunities.
He's listening to people.
He is. And, you know, I'm sure the crowd was quite loud at that time.
Oh, it was horrible, I'm sure.
But Jesus hears through the crowd this one person, and he ignores all these other chants and cries out for his death and humiliation mm-hmm. and narrows in on the one that's looking for hope.
There's no way we could ever do that.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But with him, all things are possible. He can put that in us to listen for that one.
Absolutely. But as Jesus is there upon the cross, I'm sure that this was not a sunshine and rainbow day.
No, it was horrible.
And I say that because at this point, then it begins to get dark.
Mm.
And not just because the sun is going down, but because...
No, it's still midday.
Yeah.
If you look at the Gospels, it talks about the ninth hour, the 12th hour, the third hour. It's in the middle of the day.
Right. So it's noontime, kind of.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it's black.
Pitch black.
So something's going on here.
Yeah.
And you can read a little bit about this a little bit later, but it mentions that, you know, the priests are trying to find their way, right? And they're feeling around.
And doesn't it say that the people were, just because of the darkness, they were confused and everything?
Yeah.
It's like people, you know, you put yourself in that situation. This is a supernatural darkness.
Yeah.
And even the Jewish leaders, they kind of start trying to twist that toward their advantage. But there's so much going on here. And yet it's the Father that's coming down to be next to his Son,
yep.
hidden in the darkness.
Right. And that's amazing that God the Father, even though he was separated from his Son because of the sin that was upon him, mm-hmm. he was still close to him in that darkness.
And yet Jesus is saying, Father, why have you forsaken me?
Mm.
And there's a whole another study. You can go back to Psalms 22.
Oh.
It's like he's quoting Psalms 22.
You know, Psalms 22, I mean, we don't have time to get into all of that today. But yeah, absolutely. Psalms 22 is exactly what Jesus is quoting mm-hmm. here.
And the Jewish mind, they were like, they memorized that. You know, when they were at their synagogue, the children, even at home, they had to memorize this.
Yeah, Psalms 22:1 says, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Yeah.
And then I love this. The last verse of Psalms 22 says, they shall come and shall declare his righteousness so unto a people that shall be born. Now listen to this. That he has finished.
Yeah.
It is
finished.
Jesus
says, it is finished.
Oh.
And he says, Father, in verse 46 of Luke 23, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He's just saying, it's done.
Right.
Here it is. And he doesn't just leave us, you know, it's just like he is giving it back to his Father, where he came from, you know, that whole process, it's done.
Yeah. And friends, we're going to have to talk a lot more about this crucifixion scene because we're running out of time here today. In fact, we're out of time already. But please, when you're home, when you're doing your devotions, maybe it's been a while since you've cracked the Bible open, go to Luke 23, go to John 19.
Yes.
Go to Matthew, Mark, look at the story of Jesus, compare them. And just see the heart of your Savior.
One third of the Gospels is focused on this week.
Incredible. A third of all of the writing that we have about the life of Christ is on this one week.
Yeah. And if you want a supplemental reading of this, you know, we're saying look at the scriptures, but if you want a little bit of supplemental reading, contact us here at Strong Tower Radio for the book Desire of Ages. You can write us at P.O. Box 567, Cadillac, Michigan 49601, or you can call us at 231-468-2087.
Wonderful. And again, if you have any questions, you can always email me at gmorgan, G-M-O-R-G-A-N, at MISDA.org. But please call here if you need anything like that.
Right.
And we'll get that to you. But thank you so much for joining us. I'm sure there's a great program coming up here. So don't touch that dial. We'll be back on Strong Tower Radio.